This is Danny and Dusty.
It's not your problem, Doc. You don't have to mix up in this.
That is a hell of a thing for you to say to me.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, skin it. Skin that smoke wagon and see what happens.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
I'm your Huckleberry.
The Fan.
Hour number three, Danny and Dusty on this Friday afternoon. Dusty and Ortner. Thanks for listening. 1080 AM, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, twitch.tv/1080AM, the Fan, or the party people and the party animals in the YouTube chats at youtube.com/1080AM, the Fan. We talked with Noah Eagle last hour. We also had a farewell to our boss man, Jeff Austin, our program director at 12:30. If you miss any of the show, check it out. Russ does a great job of editing it all out and putting it up as quickly as he can.
Mm-hmm. Noah Eagle just got posted.
Hey, look at that. Look at that.
It's a fun interview.
Yeah, he's a great dude.
Insightful on Ian Eagle's burners.
Yeah, dude. Now I want to find Ian Eagle's burners, but
I wish that he had one of the like bad SEC burners.
Well, just watch. It'll be like, something easy like at Ian Eagle's burner.
But what if, and I'm just spitballing here. You said the SEC burners, like,
yeah.
What if it like it's just a random name and it's just dragging people left and right? Because Noah said he doesn't tweet. He doesn't like it. He just consumes. He consumes.
Which
it.
Is smart.
It's very smart.
It lets you be in on the joke without mm-hmm. like being too in on the joke. However, nothing would be funnier to me than like you've seen those burner accounts where they put like a picture of their fridge out where they got a bunch of different beers and they're like, oh, got a bullpen game tonight. Nothing would be funnier to me than if that was Ian Eagle. Just like, oh, got a bullpen night tonight and he's taking a picture and he's got mismatched beers. He's got like
I'm with you on
a Michelob. He's got a Corona in there. Coors Light. That would be beautiful.
Or just a constant stream of posts talking S about other famous play-by-play guys.
There's your sign though. There's your sign.
That would get you caught.
Yeah, somebody's going to be like, wait a minute.
Why is it everybody but Ian Eagle?
What and if he Noah was, Eagle.
What if he was over the top? Like, he just loved everyone yeah. but Ian Eagle and Noah Eagle?
See, now,
that's, well, see, but now the thing is, that's how he hides himself, because he talks to us about Noah, too.
Ooh. Hey, you never know. You never know how this goes. Wow. All right. Hey, we've got cryptic season in the NFL going on right now. I didn't see this one coming. A cryptic post from TJ Watt.
Of JJ Watt brother fame.
I think everybody knows he's standalone now. He's like the best edge rusher in the NFL.
It's possible. I like how this stays with Ian Eagle, though.
What?
It's a little bit of a degree of separation, but Ian and JJ are going to be calling games for CBS.
Get out of town.
Yes, they're partners.
Good for them.
Yep, Ian will be play-by-play and JJ color.
He is now quiet on this. I mean, this is the interesting part. TJ Watt, he went there and went to the Instagrams, and he just tweeted out a picture of him giving up the peace sign, deuces. And now Steeler fans are going absolutely bonkers that they are going to lose TJ Watt. He is wanting an extension and trying to negotiate an extension with the team as he enters the final year of his deal. And many believe that this is not so good news, as he may just say, well, if you don't want to extend me, trade me. And that would be a fascinating little nugget, as we are a couple of weeks away from the NFL draft and the Pittsburgh Steelers may be trading the best edge rusher in the game.
He doesn't... To me, I'm surprised. This seems like a weird move because it's obviously very cryptic. It seems like everyone from, you know, all of the insiders, they're pointing to this is him saying, hey, you need to pay me and you need to pay me more than Myles Garrett. You've never seen a move like this, though, from the Watts. Like,
no, that's where it was weird. This is a weird move.
Is it possible that it just is a photo he likes? Like, his arms look nice in it. Is that. Like, what's your benefit here?
Does this picture make my butt look big?
Well, his butt's not in this picture, but it makes his abs look tight. Maybe, like,
yeah, so you're saying, what if this is more of a thirst trap than a...
I just don't get it. It doesn't make sense. And you would think he'd be more forthcoming about it. Like, this seems like a wide receiver post. If DK Metcalf posted this before the Seahawks traded him,
you'd be like, eh, I'd be like,
yep, DK wants out.
Yeah.
Like, if right now, I don't know, find a wide receiver that Marvin Harrison Jr. posts this for the Arizona Cardinals, he'd be like, oh, he's unhappy in Arizona. He's probably going to move on once his rookie deal is done. This doesn't seem like a TJ Watt move. The Watts have been kind of known for, you know, being classy.
In that, here's the deal with that. We haven't seen, now, unless I have missed it, usually you would get a follow-up like, gosh, you guys are reaching here.
True.
We haven't even seen that out of him.
True.
And, I mean, again, unless I have missed something, I don't live on social media all the time. So, I don't know. This could be a nothing burger, but who it's coming from and the timing of it all, it does seem a little bit weird. And I hate that social media has become this, like, this is where people will put something cryptic out there without actually saying anything whatsoever. And it puts a fan base into a pretzel.
Yeah.
And then we get no explanation.
And it's extremely lame.
Yes.
Because it's the don't look at me, but look at me. Because TJ is going to be upset, right? When he gets questioned and reporters call him and his agent has to put out a statement or the Steelers have to put out a statement. It's an incredibly lame move because he's going to be upset about the attention that it draws to him. And the Steelers are going to be upset. I don't get it. It doesn't make sense. And for a guy who's in his 30s already, he should kind of know better.
Yeah. You want to know the betting favorites for who lands TJ Watt?
I would still have the Steelers at one.
Well, like if he is traded.
Oh. let's see. Who could use him? Could
go to the Falcons for Kirk Cousins.
L.A.?
Huh.
That's actually not a... That's a really good one.
Kirk Cousins and a one?
Chargers?
Chargers are 8-1.
I could see him... I could see him with Harbaugh.
Yep. They are 6th on the list at 8-1.
Why?
The Tennessee Titans are 5th on the list at 7-1.
Why?
Well, because they have the number one pick.
Oh, so you're trading the number one pick for TJ? Why?
Yeah.
It doesn't fit.
They need
no.
a quarterback.
That doesn't fit.
That's why they are 5th. Cardinals are 6th at 6-1 odds.
Following his brother's footsteps.
Yep. The Philadelphia Eagles are 4th at, or excuse me, 3rd with 5-1 odds.
Buffalo.
No, not on the list.
They're not on the list. They need a pass rusher.
Well, they don't have the salary cap space.
Oh.
Doesn't seem like the Eagles would either, but Buffalo, if you're wondering, 40-1 odds.
Wow, I would have thought, because they need an edge rusher, I would have thought that he would fit.
Oh, okay. Here's where it gets interesting. 2nd, Seattle Seahawks. 18th overall pick in this year's draft. And reminder to everybody out there, this is the furthest along we have been without a team giving up their first round pick since I believe it was 1993 when the Chiefs traded their first round pick for Joe Montana.
Bad trade. Oh, this is for old Joe Montana. My bad.
Yep.
That's right.
And it turned out they went to the playoffs.
That was a fine trade.
Really good.
Fine trade.
So the Seahawks are sitting at 4-1, and you pair him with Mike McDonald. You have bolster a pass rush that this team, if the Seahawks are going to win and compete in a NFC West, that is up in the air with all the turnover that we've seen in San Francisco, with still some questions because they had to make tough decisions this past offseason in LA with the Rams. Where, mind you, Cooper Kupp, anybody?
Right. Well, you'd put him opposite of Leonard. You'd put him opposite of Leonard Williams. So now you have two legit pass rushing threats from each side, and Williams would be doing it more than likely from the three tech. It would make life easier on Boye Mafe, who's shown moments of being able to get after the passer. Mm-hmm. It would make life easier on your linebacking core, and you just re-signed the kid out of Tennessee. It's not a bad idea. I just, if I'm TJ Watt, maybe it's just because I always think of it in terms of if you're a big-name star and you're starting the downswing of your career, wouldn't you want to go to a Super Bowl contender? And Seattle isn't one of them. It makes sense on a lot of different avenues, but I think the most important one would be winning a title.
Yep.
And yep. They don't
They're
get
not
him
close.
They don't get him closer than Pittsburgh has him right now.
But him and Cooper Kupp.
And in Seattle, it doesn't get Seattle closer. Like, yes, it helps you have a pass rushing threat, but again, Seattle's biggest issue is on the offensive line.
It is on the O line, and they need to protect Sam Darnold at all costs.
And TJ Watt doesn't play O-line.
Yep. But maybe a position change.
That's right. Well, hey, you know, that defensive end to left tackle pipeline works out really well for most players.
And the number one odds for a team to land TJ Watt also does not involve a Super Bowl contending team. New England Patriots 3-1.
Just because of Vrabel?
Vrabel. They hold the number four pick. And so there is this idea. Also, a team that desperately needs offensive line.
You trading a number four pick for TJ Watt?
No, man. I wouldn't do it. But this is kind of this is what the odds makers are saying, according to betonline.ag. So Patriots 3-1, Seahawks 4-1, Eagles 5-1, Cardinals 6-1, Titans 7-1, Chargers 8-1. Then the Falcons with the Jeff Russ Kirk Cousins trade idea.
That's not a bad one.
Comes into the picture. And then the Colts at 10-1. Commanders come in at 12-1. That is a sneaky one.
That's the best one, actually, probably. Because they need that. They need an edge rusher. They would have the capital give up. And if I'm TJ Watt, I would think I could win a Super Bowl with them. They are, you know, what, one game away from getting to a Super Bowl, and their issue wasn't their offense, it was their defense. That's the one that I'd put my money on. That's the one that makes the most sense to me.
That's what I'm talking about. All right, 503-864-6326, that is the Fan text line. Coming up next, a celebration to remember, Danny and Dusty on the Fan. I love to hear the thunder, watch the lightning. A celebration for the ages. There was a baseball game yesterday evening on ESPNU, and my son, who is big sports guy, actually, shout outs to my son, Bennett. He has been in this studio the entire show.
He's been doing a great job.
Making no noise yet. He's been crushing it over here, but he will put on, he does like the score thing where he hits that button on the remote and he'll just go through every sport and just find the games that are the closest. And let me tell you, sometimes we get some games that are like, what are we watching here? But he often, more often than not, finds some gold because he's just looking for close games.
Fair.
Last night he finds a tie baseball game, Texas A&M in South Carolina in College Station. And he ends up throwing that bad boy on, and sure enough, we watch the ninth inning. It goes into extra innings. South Carolina had a runner on third, couldn't get him across. Texas A&M does nothing in the bottom of the ninth, so we go to the 10th. A&M makes quick work of South Carolina. They get up to the plate, and enter Caden Sorrell, who first batter of the 10th for A&M. Lefty goes oppo taco and just crushes the ball. First pitch.
He absolutely mashed it. And the part
nipped
that,
it.
Again, it didn't look like he hit it that hard.
No.
Like he just, nice, easy swing. I guess like all your baseball coaches were right.
Yeah.
Easy swing and it'll go the furthest.
So he goes and he's doing the trot, love, elite bat flip that he had on it. He does the trot around. He gets to home plate. And he gets mobbed, right? They rip his jersey off. All of the guys wear the catapult now. You know the catapult system?
Yeah, he's got the sports bra on.
Looks like a sports bra. It's a tracking thing.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter had some questions like, why is he that guy wearing a sports bra? It's like, well, it's for tracking. They have a little chip in it. Tracks everything.
It's crazy what that thing can do.
Yeah, your speed, your distance. Like,
it'll tell you if you're not
your
rested
movements,
enough,
yeah,
it'll like say, hey, he can only practice for an hour today. He needs to rest. It's crazy.
But they rip the jersey off, and then out of nowhere, this dude comes up and puts on a replica of a green jacket from the Masters. Like, it's got the Masters logo on the breast of it. It looks exactly like the Masters jacket. It just pops up out of nowhere, out of the dugout. And so this guy's just celebrating with a Masters jacket and seemingly a sports bra on. And I'm just thinking to myself, what is happening here?
It's beautiful, dude. Is it the best celebration that we've seen so far?
It's an elite celly.
Because college baseball, much better celebrations than MLB, unless it's Randy Arozarena or Jose Bautista.
So what this Texas A&M team does, every home run, they have this thing called the golden putter that they bring out. Mm-hmm. And guy has to do stroke with the golden putter in the dugout as their dugout celly. Masters week, they ordered online a replica green jacket, and they were like, if we have a walk-off win, you get the green jacket.
That's awesome. Never
first
give it back.
First pitch of the first game they have the Masters green jacket, walk-off dinger, they throw the green jacket on this guy.
Now, here's the question. If they have another walk-off, does he have to then take the jacket off himself and give it to the next person, or do they have
a great
second
question.
One? And they go into like their version of Butler Cabin, and then he does it.
No, I think that's what has to happen. He has to come out of the dugout with the green jacket on.
Mm-hmm.
And then if he's the guy that does it again, then we have the situation where I think the manager at this point, the coach of Texas yes. A&M, he has to put that jacket on him, because tradition says past champion has to do it.
Right.
Well, we got a repeat. Which means the director of the tournament has got to put that jacket on him.
Now, this leads into other questions, too. Yeah. They're going to play tonight.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a pregame meal. Does he determine said pregame meal?
Now, I would believe that would probably be in their best interest. I don't think that's going to happen.
I think it probably should. I mean, it's a baseball player. What's he going to have? Chicken tendies, probably. Well, he'll be fine.
He just needs to go to the team chef and say, hey, what's for team dinner? And he needs to mock up his own menu as if he created it himself.
Which would be hilarious. They should do everything just like the Masters. Like, they should have to lock up all their phones before the game.
Mm-hmm.
It would be all-time TV.
What this also did for me, you can get on the internet, off of Amazon, a Masters blazer replica for $53.99.
That's less than the hat I bought last night.
Right? Whoa. Hats are ridiculous.
It was a cool hat.
You can get one off eBay for $90.
That's not bad.
You want to say NIL? It's good for the game in this. It's up in their celebrations. They've got a bigger budget for these sorts of things.
Dude, I might buy one of those and just start walking around with it. See what happens.
Why not?
What's the worst thing that someone happened? Somebody didn't actually win the Masters.
There's going to be an old man that yells at you, stolen valor. And it's like, dude, I'm not pretending to be one of the troops here. I'm just pretending that I'm good at golf.
What's worse? Me wearing the green jacket, me wearing the camo fatigues.
That is in the eye of the beholder, but I'm going to go with fatigues here.
I would agree with you. I think that's legitimate stolen valor.
But you want to
get... Who cares?
You want to get some of these people that are upset about the upside down Sun Devils on the guy's hat? They would be more upset that you are stealing the green jacket from somebody else.
It would be objectively hilarious if there was an old that started yelling at me like, you have to take that green jacket off. You didn't win the Masters. Like, prove that I did.
I want to see you wear that green jacket to the Masters.
Ooh, that might get you thrown out.
It's like, what? It's my new jacket.
I'm not allowed. I'm just trying to dress like you all do.
Rufio making a good point on the old YouTube chat here. So are we going to pony up for replica green jackets for Dirt and Rop?
I'm not ponying
up. They can
buy
their
own.
They're fine.
They can do that.
They can buy their own.
They can do that themselves.
If I can buy my own green jacket, they can buy their own green jacket.
Yeah. Dirt came in with a bunch of the concessions yesterday morning.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. How did he do that?
You can order them online.
You can order them online. All right. Up next, we got everybody's favorite game show, Jeff Ross. Or first is Rust with SportsCenter. It is now time for everybody's favorite game show every Friday, 2:30. It is time for Jeff Ross. Jeff Ross, take it away.
All right. Well, we are at round two of the 89th Masters, kind of winding down for the day. Each of the last 25 winners has come from the top 10 after 18 holes. That would mean you've got Justin Rose, Corey Connors, Scottie Scheffler, Ludvig Åberg, Tyrrell Hatton, Bryson DeChambeau, Aaron Rye, Harris English, Jason Day, and Akshay Bhatia. Rory McIlroy would have been included in that group were it not for two double bogeys over the last four holes. Although he rebounded quite nicely today with a 6-under 66 to pull himself within two shots of the lead.
Low round of the day,
mm-hmm. Indeed. So who are you taking to win? One of those 11 players
or
the field?
Oh, one of those 11. Like, the stats are going to tell you that it will be one of these guys, especially when you look at the separation between the top 10 right now is four strokes, right? Making up those five, if I'm going to go... You said Ludvig Åberg is in the top 10? I haven't met 12.
After yesterday.
I'm going to take one of those guys. I'm taking one of those guys. Because DeChambeau is playing really damn well right now.
Yes.
I was going to say, did you have DeChambeau in that?
Yes.
Because if you did, I'm taking him. Not just because it's possible that I have money on him. He just seems right now, Rose is going to come back. We've seen Justin Rose have a good first round. We've seen him have a good second round. He always finds his way back to the pack. And it feels like DeChambeau is playing some of his best golf the last couple of years, and finally he can live up to the "it's a par 67 for me."
Wire to wire is just so hard to do.
Right.
It's just the pressure amplifies every single day. Look, Scottie Scheffler is 1-under through 13. You know, if he finishes this day 3-under par, you're looking at him tied with Bryson heading into the weekend. Tomorrow's moving day. It's going to be a massive day. We'll see how these greens firm up even more. Players were just like on glass yesterday. Rory had a chip shot that he mishit, but it was insane the way that ball just took off and rolled down, ended up in the water. I'm gonna go with that list of 10 that you gave us. Mm-hmm.
The Browns and quarterback Joe Flacco reunited, and it feels so good on a one-year, $4 million deal. Can go as high as $13 million with incentives. Of course, also on the roster are Kenny Pickett and everybody's least favorite, you know, massage client, Deshaun Watson. Mm-hmm. Owner Jimmy Haslam recently admitted was a big swing and a miss. Let's say these are the three quarterbacks on the roster in week one. Who starts? Joe Flacco
or
Kenny Pickett?
Flacco.
You think?
Mm-hmm. I've seen Kenny Pickett. I've seen Joe Flacco.
It's old Joe Flacco. Now, he did beat a guy who literally died and then came back to life for comeback player
of
the year.
Don't even get me started on that.
He came back better than a man who literally died.
Don't.
Apparently.
Is the biggest sham of a comeback player of the year of all time. Damar Hamlin died, came back, played football. Yeah. What are we doing?
You can put your pen down now.
But I still think Flacco's better than Pickett. But if you were to ask me if the other, dude, I could see them totally going with a rookie from day one, too. If they go quarterback in the first or second round, they're starting them.
I don't understand what they're doing in that quarterback room, especially if they go young and draft a QB. Like, none of it makes sense to me. It's the ultimate, like, just grab a bunch of things, throw them at a wall, and see what sticks. I think I lean towards Pickett because your thought process is maybe he can turn into something halfway decent. I feel like Joe Flacco is done at this point. I just don't get what they're doing. I guess I'm going Pickett.
I would think maybe you start out with Flacco, and if the Browns start out terrible, which, you know, they're the Browns,
right, move
then
you bench him
and come to go to Kenny Pickett to see what he's got. Over to the association. After getting a talking to and fined for his finger gun sellies, Ja Morant has decided to change things up, pretending to pull a pin from a grenade and tossing it in last night's loss to the Timberwolves. Now, after getting, excuse me, if he continues and the NBA warns, fines him for this one, and he continues to flout the warnings. And should Memphis make the playoffs, does the league have the balls to suspend him in the postseason?
Or
wait until next year?
Oh, they'll do it in the postseason if they tell him to stop this. I love what his response to it is. He said, listen, it's not what you think it is. I'm going to take my words. I'm going to throw them out there, and then I'm going to block out the noise. So instead of biting the pin and launching a grenade and covering his ears, he is saying, I'm taking the words out of my mouth. I am tossing them away and covering my ears to block out all the noise.
Great Spencer.
That's some chess when everybody else is playing checkers. Because the NBA now, he can go, prove it. Prove it. Even though we all know he's launching a hand grenade.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he's... I think that he should just continue to move to different objects that involve explosions or firearms that aren't guns. So, like, they'll say, hey, we're going to suspend you for the grenade. So then he moves to, like, a bazooka.
I'm here for...
And then eventually he's a Predator missile.
I'm here for him doing airplane around and then pretending to drop a bomb. Like, if that, if we get to that point of Ja Morant's weapon celebrations, whatever. Here we are.
Is that going to be his next tattoo on his bicep, the Enola Gay?
He's a big fan of the Tuskegee Airmen.
Oh, man.
All right, we'll squeeze one more in here. ESPN reporting, Tennessee quarterback Nico Iamaleava skipping practice in the middle of NIL negotiations. Last year, he threw for 2,616 yards, 19 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, and over the course of the season, he threw for over 200 yards only 5 times. So is this Nico asking for more?
Or
the school going, maybe you don't need all this?
Both can be true. I think it's more him getting bad advice and asking for more.
I would agree with that. I think in a lot of these situations, when you're young like that, you are very impressionable and you are going to listen to a lot of your elders. And I think that there are times where elders look at the situation and go, well, that guy got that much. This person that I know and love, I view them as better than that person that got that much. They should hold out and get that amount of money. And then you listen. How often have we heard the story of back in the 70s, 80s, 90s, you have these, you know, early, just got into the pros kids where their parents or the local pastor or preacher gave them bad advice and they lost all their money on that. Marcus Dupree, it was a preacher, a pastor. Bernie Kosar, it was his own freaking father, you know, that was kind of bleeding some of that money dry. I think it, I don't know if this is a bleeding the money dry situation, but this is someone who has been in Nico's life for a while that's giving him bad advice.
All right. That'll do it.
That'll do it.
Jeff Russ, favorite game. Oh, thank you for another rousing edition of America's Favorite Game Show. Or
it was a lot of fun. I love being on.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. And you didn't try to kiss any of the contestants this time? I think that's safe.
I don't
you.
Think I ever tried to do that. That seems like an older generation thing. This new generation, we're hands off.
Yeah, man. You've missed the boat on that. That Richard Dawson of Family Feud.
My wife and I still laugh at that every time.
I've heard tale. I've seen a couple of the old videos where you can, like, what is he doing?
Yeah, like, there's on our streaming TV at home, there's an entire Family Feud channel, so it's just Family Feud 24 hours a day, and yeah, just, and he doesn't discern. He is an equal opportunity smoocher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wild move.
Kind of ahead of his time, though, too, in that, you know, age, race, it didn't matter whether you were married or not. He was just a...
And he was on the lips.
Well, and
Predator.
And you just knew, too, that he smelled like Lucky Strikes and Johnny Walker.
And Brute. And just covered up
definitely
with Brute.
Like Brute.
Like, that man, he just, a London fog, even?
Oh, there we go, yeah.
Maybe he had a little London fog smell to him. But cigarettes and scotch, 100%.
Yeah.
And a lot of cologne.
Yes. I can't believe you guys let him get away with that.
And yes, it was us.
Yeah. Yes, it was your generation.
It was us.
My generation would never.
Yeah, you would. All right, we've got a lot going on. We've got the Blazers wrapping up their regular season this weekend. And also, Ducks have a scrimmage down in Autzen Stadium on Saturday. We wrap up the show with what's coming up this weekend and maybe quite possibly the best flex a rich guy can have. Danny and Dusty on the Fan. Trailblazers' final two games of the season. They have played 81 tonight against the Golden State Warriors in Moda Center. A nice little weekend of basketball at Moda Center. You've got the Blazers and Warriors tonight. Mm-hmm. You have Nike Hoop Summit tomorrow. And then Sunday, Blazers-Lakers wrap up the regular season. What is at stake here? The Lakers are 49-31. They are a game up on the Denver Nuggets and the Los Angeles Clippers for the third spot in the Western Conference. The Blazers or the Lakers tonight play the Houston Rockets, which are set in stone as the number two overall seed in the West. So there's still a bunch of jockeying that could be done here over the next couple of games. If the Blazers were to ruin the Lakers' season and the Lakers lose tonight in Houston and then lose in Portland and end up going on the road as the five seed, my heart would be warm.
See, I disagree.
I disagree too.
It would warm my heart.
I would like losses. I would like losses, 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 and put yourself, at least give yourself the opportunity.
You can still sink down and get to the tied for the eighth.
It's going to be hard. You're going to have to
and
work
look,
together.
I think I was going to say it could be a three-way tie with them and Phoenix, but the Spurs actually play Phoenix in one of their last two games.
Tonight.
Yeah. Is that tonight?
Well, and,
yeah, tonight.
And the Blazers are currently tied with Phoenix.
Phoenix they is going to try and win that game, aren't they?
Currently tied. Yeah, because there's a chance they don't own their pick, bro. And they got the Kings as well. And the Kings do have something to play for as well as the nine seed. So if we could go Suns win tonight and win against the Kings, that would be preferred because then that allows the Blazers to, or Suns lose tonight and then win against the Kings. That helps the Blazers.
Yes.
And then my theory could still stand.
And San Antonio, I mean, Toronto, and they're probably not losing to Toronto. There is
Toronto is locked in.
I was going to say, there's a world where you can get to that eighth spot.
Yeah.
Try really hard. Try really, really hard.
They did in overtime.
Work together.
Against the Utah Jazz.
Band together as a team. Grind.
All right.
Maybe you can do it.
All right. That'll do it for us. Oregon's got a spring game. Scrimmage. Tomorrow, I'm going to go down for that. So I'll have reports from spring practice coming up on Monday. That does it for us on this glorious week of radio. Coming up next, it's 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. Primetime with Isaac and Suk right here on The Fan.
A healthy, active male.
No.
I'll get it in.
No.
You never forget your first.